Our topic on Focus today is about so-called capitalism. Most people around the world saw the collapse of the Soviet Union as American-style capitalism got along pretty well, but in the last 15 years since the fall of the Berlin Wall, some Americans have seen their economic power erode. VOA's Larisa Hoek explores the state of U.S. capitalism.
In 1995, the Walt Disney Company hired Hollywood agent Michael Ovitz as president and possible successor to then-chairman Michael Eisner. By the end of 1996, a little more than a year later, the company's board decided Mr. Ovitz would not do. During his short stint with the global media conglomerate, he allegedly wasted the company's money, failed to get along with his peers, and contributed nothing to the business. An ordinary employee would have likely been fired for such unsatisfactory performance, but Mr. Ovitz, a close friend of the company's chairman, was not. He agreed to resign in exchange for a severance package worth $140 million, amounting to the full value of his contract. Naomi Prince, former investment banker and the author of the book Other People's Money, The Corporate Mugging of America, gives one reason why corporate executives receive such outrageously high compensations.
80% of the top 500 companies have a situation where the CEO, the president, and the head of the board are all the same person. So that if an executive is leaving the firm, they basically hired most of the board members who are in many cases their friends, they swerve around all these different boards together, and they vote each other these compensation packages.
Thus, a high-ranking executive may earn 400 times more than an average employee. However, if the company gets in trouble and has to close down or merge with another company, it's the average worker who pays the price, says Naomi Prince.
Every single time a company is exposed to commit fraud, or every single time large companies merge with each other, the fallout is on job loss and benefit loss and retirement plan loss. And every time any type of malfeasance occurs at the senior level, the people that are protected are the people at the top of the firm for the most part.
James Galbraith, professor of government business relations at the University of Texas, agrees that a huge gap in capital distribution gives a small number of people much power. But he contends the United States has laws and institutions to prevent the abuse of power. Professor Galbraith says the abuse in the past two decades happened because of a lack of transparency.
Much of what is being done on behalf of, let's say, corporate interests is not clearly accessible to the American public. What is done in the regulatory arena, in the environmental arena, tends to be on the inside pages of our newspapers, if it makes them at all. And so we don't tend to see a kind of public discussion that we ought to have of the kinds of policies which increasingly come to dominate the scene.
But American workers are not helpless, and they do fight against injustice. Shareholders of the Walt Disney Company have pushed Michael Eisner out as chairman and are suing the board directors to recover the $140 million severance package given to Michael Ovitz. Gar Alperovitz, professor of political economy at the University of Maryland, points out that although the corporate power has grown in the past few decades, so has the power of the American worker.
There are now 11,000 firms which are owned by the workers themselves in significant part. This is a development over three decades from just about zero. There are about 4,000 neighborhood-owned corporations benefiting neighborhoods. Cities are beginning to own enterprises so that wealth becomes of benefit to workers, to neighborhoods, to cities.
Professor Alperovitz says some of these worker-owned enterprises are more profitable than large corporations.
All the airlines in the United States are in financial difficulty except one, Southwest Airlines, and it's the only one that has substantial worker ownership.
Some analysts say these and other alternative forms of wealth ownership may one day counteract corporate power in the United States. But most agree the guiding principle of the American dream is the unlimited pursuit of happiness, not economic equality. Democratic entrepreneurial capitalism has made America the most prosperous nation in the world. But for American capitalism to continue to benefit all Americans, analysts say, current corporate governance needs to renew its democratic roots by enhancing shareholders' rights and separating ownership from management. For Focus, I'm Zlatica Hoek.